You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. We're going to chat about Charles-Bonnet syndrome today, a condition that causes people who have experienced sight loss to see things that are not there. Now, we will chat a little bit more about Charles-Bonnet syndrome and what it is exactly with Judith Potts, founder and trustee of charity Esme's Umbrella. They are working on raising awareness about the condition actually presenting in children as well as adults. And joining us alongside Judith is Aliza Rehman, who has been involved in their current campaign. It is fantastic speaking with both of you today.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Judith, we're going to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit more about Esme's Umbrella and also about Charles-Bonnet syndrome? Because I know over the years you've worked really, really hard to raise awareness of the condition.
Yes, I have, absolutely. 10 years last November was when I started. My charity is called Esme's Umbrella in memory of my mother. And it was her experience of Charles-Bonnet syndrome at a time when nobody knew what it was. Nobody was talking about it. There was no support that finally made me, after she had died, actually decide that I really needed to do something. So Esme's Umbrella was launched at the House of Commons in 2015 as a campaign to raise awareness, to find ways to support people who develop the condition and to inspire research. And then in 2021, I turned it into a proper charity. Charles-Bonnet syndrome is a condition which can develop in a child, a young person, or an adult. It causes vivid, silent, visual hallucinations, which can range from very simple images, words, patterns, musical notes, maps, all the way through to people and whole scenes. For some people, it's actually quite easy to cope with. They quite enjoy it, but for others, it is terrifying. And from the very beginning, I would say to the doctors, what about the children? And they would say, oh, no, 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 children don't develop CBS. And I would say, why? Because they lose their sight in exactly the same way as adults do. What do you mean they don't develop it? And they would never answer me. So a few years ago, I spoke to Professor Maria Musaji, who is actually a trustee of Esme's Umbrella, and I explained this situation to her. She's a consultant ophthalmologist at Moorfields in Great Ormond Street. And she said, right, we'll prove it. And so she has done. And one of the things she did was to write to all the pediatric ophthalmologists and ask them if they were talking to their patients, their young patients, about CBS. And they all, with one accord, said no. I hope they now are doing this. Initially, we discovered that they were writing it in the notes, very often actually calling it Charles-Bonnet syndrome, but not doing anything else. So they weren't talking to the children or the parents. Now we desperately need help to make sure that there's not one single child left in a world of visual hallucinations without any support.
And obviously, when we're talking about these hallucinations, they can be, if you don't know what it is, if you don't know what Charles-Bonnet syndrome is, it can be very frightening, it can be disturbing. And as you mentioned, for young children, especially when they're going through this diagnosis with their sight loss, they might not want to worry their parents. I imagine that's maybe one of the reasons you think children are not talking about seeing things that are not really there.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. I think, and I can completely understand this, that when parents, carers, guardians discover that their child has a life-altering condition in sight loss, that is very hard to process. And when somebody comes along and says, actually, there is something else that might happen, it's very hard for them to accept, to listen, to want to know any more. And then we have the children. As you say, the children are probably not saying anything, partly because they know that their parents are already upset and they don't want to make their lives any more difficult. So they keep it quiet to themselves. I think that the children we do know about find bedtime very difficult because one of the triggers is tiredness. And so at the end of a child's day, when it's bedtime, that's when they will see a great number of unpleasant things like bugs on the bed, spiders, nasty faces, snakes, that kind of thing, which means that a trusted adult needs to be in the room with them until they fall asleep. And of course, if they wake in the night, similarly, just waking up, just going to sleep is another trigger for Charles Bonnet syndrome, and they will probably need some reassurance during the night as well.
And Aliza, you're involved in the campaign led by Esme's Umbrella at the moment. Can you tell us a little bit about your own experience of Charles-Bonnet syndrome?
Yeah, so when my vision started to deteriorate at 16, I was seeing like these flashing firework lights, not in any sort of different color, because I had no knowledge of color perception. So they were like these bright lights, and they always come in different shapes, if you like. And it depends on my emotions. So if I'm anxious, upset, tired, then they look like sort of straight lines, mostly vertical lines, not even horizontal. And then versus when I find something hilarious, or if I'm really happy or really excited about something, they'll usually be like round circles or flowers or leaves. And I found, seeing the more natural images, since obviously we've had a lot more sunshine lately, which I think, to me, they're very pleasant things to look at. And, when I did start seeing them, I did tell my parents and, we consulted my ophthalmologist, but again, they barely acknowledge it and say that it's just something to do with your retina, it's no big deal. But, I was curious and I did some research on it, and then I stumbled upon a video by Molly Burke, who is a blind YouTuber, and she talked about her experience, and then I found myself nodding along to her explanations, and I was like, yes, this is definitely what it is. And I just feel like I wanted to get involved to help people talk about it more. And I actually was thinking about this, ever since I started working with the campaign, that I do remember seeing these images as a child, but again, like most children, never acknowledged it, never talked about it.
How did you feel when you finally were able to put a name to something that you've perhaps experienced for quite a while, and it felt like it was, in, I guess, to put it gently, dismissed initially?
I think it was reassuring to know that I'm not going completely crazy, if you like, that this thing is legitimate, that I'm, not just going insane. But I think it is really disappointing to know that I had to research and, in a way, self-diagnose myself instead of relying on an ophthalmologist who you'd assume would give you the answer that, yes, it is Charles-Bonnet syndrome. Yes, this is normal. And this is what you should be doing. So, yeah, that. I think that is what disappointed me the most. I was at the A&E department of Moorfields last year because I had another significant hit with the vision loss in my left eye. And I told him, I said, nobody's been able to answer this for me. And he confirmed it and he said, yes, it is Charles-Bonnet syndrome. And yes, these are the things that you see.
And obviously, it's made, I imagine, quite a difference in your life being able to put a name to it. And also getting involved now with Esme's Umbrella and being able to share this knowledge and perhaps help parents and carers and teachers understand that this is something that happens in children as well. Because I think, Judith, earlier you mentioned that this is still something we don't really have a lot of information about.
No, that's exactly right. And what we actually need, and I am lobbying for this, is a proper diagnostic pathway. It's in the RNIB's various pathways that they have done and guide dogs for the children, but it stops there. It says that they need to mention Charles-Bonnet syndrome to patients, but then that's it. there's nothing for the patients. There's no sub pathway that says, if your child or if an adult has this condition, this is what you do. So we do need a proper NHS-based diagnostic pathway for treatment as well, of course. We don't have a CBS-specific treatment at the moment, so we need that as well. But basically, we need every single ophthalmologist, optometrist, GP to be aware of Charles-Bonnet syndrome and to know how to help everybody, adults and children. And obviously we need the teachers to be aware as well. So we need a huge amount of support on this. And obviously we need data. We need to know how many children do have this condition. It's very difficult because the figure of children with sight loss is not divided into those who are born blind and those who acquire sight loss. So we can't even guess. With the adults, we say it's 1 in 5, but with children, we have no idea, but there could easily be 1 in 5. There could be more. We just don't know. So we need as much help from everybody out there, all your listeners. Please, if you have any ideas of how we can get the word out there, how we can lobby, anything at all, please get in touch with me.
Well, Judith, if we did want to get in touch with you, what's the easiest way?
The easiest way is either to look at the website, www.charlesbonnetsyndrome, which is charlesbonnetsyndrome.uk. There's no co, it's just .uk. Or email me, judith@charlesbonnetsyndrome.uk.
Well, Judith, Elisa, thank you so much for speaking with us today and for raising awareness of your really important campaign. You obviously have more work highlighting the campaign throughout the next few months. But in the meantime, thank you so much for speaking on the RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Pleasure, as always.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.